Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer, in for Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And it's time now for this week's Artery segment, when we talk to artists, curators, and critics about what's exciting them on the Boston art scene.
Earlier today, I met up with Wyona Lynch McWhite, the executive director of the Fruitlands Museum in Harvard, Mass. We didn't meet at the museum, but at Gallery Naga, which is a small, actually quite intimate exhibition space located inside a church on Newbury Street. She wanted to show us some of the pieces there done by a California woodworker named John Cedarquist. His work blurs the lines between the second and third dimensions. To see what we mean, hop on our website, radioboston.org, and take a look at a photo slideshow we put together of his work. And take a look while we're talking with Wyona Lynch McWhite so that what she describes will make sense. When we met, she explained Cedarquist's technique, but first she pointed out his work's connection to New England.
There's this great tradition of furniture making in Massachusetts, which first exposed me to his work. And even though this artist is not from New England, he's very much connected to and he has influenced people that make furniture. In my mind, I've always connected him to that energy about great furniture making that's part of what happens in Massachusetts.
So we are looking at furniture, kind of, but it's unclear whether this is furniture to look at or furniture to use and sit in.
I think that's half the fun of John Cedarquist. So there are three chairs that are here in the room with us today, and they totally are functional chairs. You could sit at them, pull them up at the dinner table, have great conversations if you will, but they have these great illusions on them, almost trompe l'oeil designs, which would question whether or not you should or should not sit in them, but you totally could.
Right, so when you say illusion, from a distance it looks like there's some kind of drapery or material draped over it, but then you come closer and realize, no, that's actually flat or painted on somehow.
That's correct. So the pieces themselves are made with marquetry, where he takes pieces of wood that he has cut.
Marquetry, did you say?
Marquetry.
What is marquetry?
So it's a specific woodworking technique where pieces of wood are put together to kind of form a uniform design or pattern. And in Cedarquist's case, he's also embellishing that marquetry with painting, airbrushing, staining, and bleaching other things, so that what you get is a very 2D, and I hate to use the word trompe l'oeil, but there's an element of trompe l'oeil very much that's part of this work.
And you're saying T-R-O-M-P-E, the French word.
That's the right one.
Okay.
Don't ask me to spell it, though.
There's an apostrophe in there somewhere.
Somewhere in there.
Can we walk closer to that chair so you can show me the inlaid part?
Sure. This is a piece called Architectural Elements. It's a fairly new piece. It's from 2012, and it's made up of lots of different kinds of mixed woods along with epoxy resin and stain.
You said there are pieces embedded somehow?
It's almost like a jigsaw puzzle. Mm. So as we look at this, every element of this is an individual piece of wood that's been cut, that's been stained and painted, and put together. So this large drape that we're looking at that comes across what appears to be wood boards, that's all a piece or several pieces that have been cut and pieced together.
So there are seams there that I must not be seeing.
There are seams there.
I have to walk even closer to this, I think.
So the beauty of not being in museums is I think we can get fairly close. And so this is a piece of wood here that's a lovely section that's been joined together with this piece here. That's
are they glued piece. Somehow very carefully?
He uses an epoxy to seal them together. He also uses traditional furniture making techniques such as biscuit joinery and other things to put the pieces together. At his heart, he's a furniture maker who got fascinated by 2D design. So he combines 2D design and 3D design in a really fun way. So he's inspired by traditional Japanese woodblock painting and also cartoons. I think you can see the element, that kind of line drawing effect that you see in cartoons where it's basically a line drawing with a little bit of elements of shading and shadow put in. He loved Popeye cartoons, but anyone who's seen a Disney cartoon or anything like that, you see those cartoon elements that come through.
So we should describe more what we're seeing. It's almost like a vertically striped curtain, a long curtain that's draped over a wood chair,
mm-hmm.
and it does have a flat seat. But then the place where your back would go is like boards haphazardly crisscrossed.
That's true. So when we were across the room looking at this piece, it looked like a bramble of wood pieces and an architectural element like a crown molding at the top that had kind of been just left there, like they were in dishabille. But as you get closer, the lower half of the piece turns into the seat, and you see that you could, in fact, sit down there. The top piece of the drapery and the crown molding form the back of the chair.
Now, besides the chairs, there are these Japanese-themed trays, like bento
Correct.
Boxes. That's the other part of this.
These trays are very interesting because they really, truly are more two-dimensional than three-dimensional, which is a shift in John's work as I know it. And so they definitely do reference the Japanese woodblock tradition. In fact, bento boxes, Japanese waves, sushi elements, ceramic ware, other things are elements within the trays, and they're really very interesting.
They are. This one looks like it has a live flying fish on it next to some chopsticks and a little wasabi.
A little wasabi there and a little lotus blossom flower at the top. They allow you to see that marquetry at work in a very different way. And these are not functional. The chairs could be sat in. These trays, I guess you could use them as a serving tray, but they really become almost wall piece in some ways, which I think is a great shift.
I love the two trays bracketing the bento box. It's almost like there's a tsunami wave on the plate.
John likes to use these waves, and some of it does come from his interest in traditional Japanese woodblock and those, you know, famous pieces of the waves that are often done. On the one on the right, the wave is somewhat being served up with, is that a bowl of miso soup there with it?
Right, exactly.
Isn't that awesome? And then on the left, the wave is bursting forth from a shipping box as though it has just arrived and just been opened and sprang out of the box. So technically, the pieces are really interesting. At surface, you might be drawn in by the color and the imagery, and I think that's wonderful. But the more you know about them, then you're also so impressed with his skill.
You know, I read that one of the things he said about his work is that the furniture part is furniture built as in a dream, which I thought was a great little line.
Oh, I think that's wonderful. And it's great because often you don't even know it's furniture. That's half the fun. You're drawn into the dream. As you get a little bit further, you realize that it's a piece of functional furniture often that you can engage with. So you can open up the dream, if you will, and store your goodies inside or sit on the piece and be a part of it. I think that's really fun.
And I noticed in reading his bio that his undergraduate degree is in art, but his master's is in crafts. And so you can really see the blend of those here.
Very much so. And I think he would tell you that he, first and foremost, is a furniture maker and made much more traditional work, although I've not seen it. He may have burned it all. He made much more kind of traditional work and then began to teach 2D design and got very enraptured in that intersection of what happens in 2D design and those elements and what happens with furniture. And that's why I think he's a great blend of the two. He's brought both sides of his brain together, both sides of these processes together to make really engaging work that is both successful 2D work and very successful 3D work.
And what's really fun about his work is the optical illusion of it. I mean, it's not as far as M.C. Escher, but there's an element of where does it begin and where does it stop and what's flat and what's actually could I touch and would feel textured.
That's true. And that element of is it real, is it fake, and it looks so real, but how is it not? And those kind of questions back and forth, I think, really bring you closer to the piece and are much more exciting for the viewer.
Wayona, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Glad to spend some time with you today.
Wayona Lynch McWhite is the executive director of the Fruitlands Museum in Harvard, Mass. She was talking to us today about the work of John Cedarquist, and you can see his work at Gallery Naga on Newberry Street through this Saturday. There's more information and a slideshow of Cedarquist's work on our website, radioboston.org.
And that's our program for today. Tomorrow on Radio Boston, Muslim-American comedian Dean Obadallah joins us to talk about his new film, The Muslims Are Coming.
Radio Boston is a production of the WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.